The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
So this morning we're talking about joy, and my message today is joy to the world. Of course, we sang that song this morning. It's probably the most popular Christmas carol that people desire to hear this time of year. It's written by Isaac Watts. It was taken from Psalms 98, Psalms 96, Genesis. It's a very, very popular song. But I would like to ask everybody in here, because I just can't get past this in my life. How many, when someone says joy to the world, do you hear that hymn in your mind? You hear joy to the world. You people are really blessed, because I was a teenager in the 70s. And what comes to my mind is Hoyt Axton's Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog. Karen's with me on this. I hear Three Dog Night singing, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, joy to the world. You know, all the boys and girls, joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea, joy to you and me. It's crazy. I think it's a bit sacrilegious, but that's what I hear. So I have to try to transition away from that and think about the reality of joy to the world is the joy that we have in knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Joy in the dictionary is gladness, state of rejoicing. It's happiness. Well, I would say the joy is more than happiness. Joy has to be a deep-seated decision that we have, because happiness can be manipulated by circumstance and situations in our life. We can be happy one minute and sad the next. But joy should not be dictated by our circumstance. Joy should not be something that comes and goes because we're having a good time or we're not having a good time. We're not, you know, all of us, I would venture to say 2020 has not been a happy year for almost all of us. And yet, we reside in the joy of the Lord in our lives, recognizing that His joy doesn't come from what is taking place in the world. His joy doesn't come from my relationships. As much as I want to have happy, good, godly relationships, you know, praise God, I have a wonderful wife, family, a great church. I have great relationships, and I'm happy about that. But if all that was taken away, could I walk in the joy of the Lord no matter what? And that's really where we have to come to in our lives. We have to reside in the presence of our God and recognize that the joy of the Lord is not subject to our whims and our emotions. The joy of the Lord is eternal. Because the joy of the Lord is about our salvation and our eternity. Around Christmas a few years ago, Tammy posted on Facebook, what brings you joy? Many people said things like children, grandchildren, spouse, God. But one good old boy, which I'm sure that there's a few people, a few guys in here that can identify with this. One old good old boy said, guns bring me joy. Now, it has to be a country boy that feels that way. But, I'm sure some of you in here can identify with that. And I think maybe his reason for saying that was a hint to his family for Christmas. Guns, guns, guns. Well, you know, that's an example of something that brings us happiness, not necessarily joy. Happy, you know, I'm happy when I get a gift that I've been expecting from my family, or I was expecting for Christmas. But that's just, you know, that there's more to this thing than our happiness. It's all about joy. So with the kind of hustle and bustle that we have this time of year, and particularly the frustration of Christmas with COVID-19, which has brought a lot of frustration to people's lives, I thought it might be a good idea to just remind you of some reasons that Christmas is important. First of all, one of the reasons is that the fruitcake market would completely collapse if there wasn't Christmas. Does anybody buy fruitcake except at Christmas time? And does anybody really eat fruitcake? Few of you do, okay. Yeah, some people really like fruitcake. Okay, I just wondered. I've noticed that if you leave it set around for years, it stays the same. It never changes. Another thing, eggnog would just be a slimy, high cholesterol beverage if it wasn't for Christmas. Santa would be a strange fat man with poor fashion sense. You'd have to spend your money on buying stuff that doesn't fit all by yourself. We'd never wonder if reindeer really knew how to fly. And the number one reason, and this is real, without Christmas, there would be no Easter. And that's what we look forward to. Amen. Is that resurrection of our Lord and Savior. That's what makes Christianity real. It's not the birth of Christ. It's the resurrection of Christ that makes Christianity alive in us. So I'm going to ask you, this morning, I do not have an outline, but and I'm going to be as brief as possible. I know people want to get out of here today. There's probably some celebrations. I know my family is having a Christmas celebration this afternoon together, and so I'd like to share a few things with you, and we'll move on. But first of all, turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. You can look at your device, your Bible, whatever you have. I thank God for technology. But do not allow it to keep you from having a Bible and studying a Bible. You know, you can study through the technology. It's awesome. But you need to be able to open a Bible and know where a scripture can be found and where the books are and to understand. Technology makes it too easy. You can just type it in and boom, it comes up. But we need to use our brain just a little bit. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This is what we need to understand, that the angel was saying to everyone. He was saying to the shepherds, but he was saying to the whole world. He is announcing today, that day, that the long-awaited hope of the world was here. The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this angel appeared to a group of shepherds, the lowliest people in the society. Shepherds were kind of outcasts. They were on the fringe of society. Most people didn't like the stinky, smelly guys around. They hung out with sheep, and sheep smell bad. I don't know if you've ever been around a bunch of sheep, but they're not the most wonderful thing to be around as far as the aroma goes. And of course, the shepherds smelled like sheep. But this is an indication that God sent his Savior, his Son, not to the high and mighty, not to kings, not just to kings, but he did to kings, and rulers, and politicians, and people who have power. He sent his Son to the lowliest of society, to all people, on every level, on every part of our society, in every part of the world. The Savior is born to all who will come to the Savior. Praise God. That some kings do come. Some rulers do come. Some mighty people do come. But praise God that it's available to anyone, any place, any time. This is the reason for the joy that we have. Because God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, for you, for me, and for anyone, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. The source of this joy is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Savior means deliverer, preserver, rescuer, one who delivers or saves. In the Greek, the word is Christos. It means anointed one. In Hebrew, they're talking about the same individual. The Greek form of the word is Christos. The Hebrew word is Mashiach, or we translate it Messiah. Now, the Jews have used this term for many people in the past. Some people who have been pagans that have stepped up and helped deliver the Jews. For instance, a Gentile by the name of Cyrus was the one, a Persian, who released the Jewish people after their 70 years of exile from Jerusalem, based on a prophecy given by Jeremiah many years prior to this, that for 70 years the people of Jerusalem would be in exile in Babylon, and then they would be released. And because Cyrus released the people, he was the one that God used, they called him the Mashiach, or the anointed one. They called him a Messiah. Now, he was a Messiah figure to the Jewish people, but he was not the Messiah that they were looking for. Through the years, they have recognized different Gentiles. How many saw the movie Schindler's List? Did you see that? It was a gentleman, a German, who helped save hundreds of Jewish people during the Holocaust. And they referred to him as a righteous Gentile. So there's been, from the Jewish perspective, there's been many righteous Gentiles or anointed ones who have stepped up and helped save the Jewish people throughout history. In fact, one of the interesting things about the Cyrus being used was that he was hundreds of years before, I think it was about 150 years actually, before he proclaimed the freedom of the Jewish people, it was prophesied that he would do so. So his name was already written. And when the Jewish religious leaders pointed this out to him, he was overwhelmed by that and was moved by God to release the Jewish people. Let me read to you what the Scripture says about that in Ezra chapter 1, verse 2. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which he's talking about, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in many any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, beside the freewill offerings from the house of the God, which is in Jerusalem. So this was the prophecy that was given, and this was a prophecy, or this was the fulfillment of a prophecy that was given by Jeremiah hundreds of years before that, that in 70 years they would be released, and it was the 70 years. Cyrus was considered an anointed one. How many know that also the Jewish people have some sects have referred to Donald Trump also as a messianic figure, an anointed one? Have you heard that? Some of you have? Okay. You know, there was a group, McDash Education Center, minted a coin. Now, it's not really a coin, it's more of a token. But it's being sold to gullible people for $50 to $70 a piece. It costs them just a few dollars to produce, and they're making money on this thing, of course. Now, the reason they're doing it is supposedly they are selling this for the treasury of the rebuilding of the new temple in Jerusalem, which the Jewish people are desiring to do. And the reason that Donald Trump is considered to be a messianic figure to them is because he has taken a stand for Jerusalem. He has moved our embassy to Jerusalem, and he has proclaimed that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. So, and on this coin is the face of Cyrus, the face of Donald Trump, and on the back is the temple, the desired rebuilt temple. So, and I say all this because I want you to understand that the Jews are looking for a Messiah. They have been for hundreds and hundreds of years. Is Donald Trump their Messiah? No. They believe that he is going to usher in the ability for the Messiah, their Messiah, to be presented to them as a nation. What is going to happen in the future? Who knows? Only God knows what's taking place. But I can tell you this, we are living in end times. We are living in perilous times, and we're seeing things come together and fall into place. Jesus Christ is coming back, and the Jewish people are going to recognize Jesus as Messiah before all this ends. Jesus is going to come back and set up his reign here on earth. He's the Messiah, no human being other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that we're celebrating his birth this time of year. Jesus Christ, he is the only one. There are not many ways to God, as the world would have you to believe. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He said many things that made it perfectly clear. He is the one and only Savior, and the only way to enter into the kingdom of God and renew your relationship with God is through the Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other. When people tell you there are other ways, they're deceiving you. And they're deceiving millions. The first place the Mashiach is used in the Old Testament to describe a special anointed one is in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. However, prior to this time, there was a long oral tradition of a special deliverer coming to the earth. The Old Testament itself records many, many prophecies foretelling the coming of a deliverer. The first one took place 4,000 years ago, before the birth of Jesus Christ, and it was recorded by Moses 1,400 years before his birth, and it's found in Genesis. I'm not going to read that, but you can go there and find it. There's also prophecies in Isaiah 700 years before Jesus Christ. There's two different prophecies there. So it's a prophecy in Micah about the birth of Jesus being in Bethlehem. you know, several hundred years before the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament itself, there's about 60 major prophecies and more than 300 references to the coming of the Messiah, and Jesus Christ fulfilled every one of them. Some of them will still, he's going to fulfill in the future, but the majority of them have been fulfilled by Jesus, his first coming. This is incredible to think about. Impossible in human terms. Now, we're about to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But as I've already said, it means nothing unless we recognize the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is and should be the true source of our joy. This is what joy is all about. It's about the recognition that we're going to have eternal life in Jesus. That we're going to live forever. Now, I got to tell you, every human soul, spirit is going to live forever. The choice we make here is whether we are going to live with the Messiah and with our God, or if we're going to live in damnation, separated from our God. That choice has to be made here in this place as we walk and live and breathe. We have to choose Jesus. We have to walk before Jesus. We have to celebrate Jesus. To enter peace and walk in peace, we have to have Jesus Christ in our heart. It's not a head knowledge. You know, many people recognize that there is a God. Many people say, oh yeah, Jesus was a good person. We know he walked on the face of it. It's not just head knowledge. You have to come to the place where you know in your knower that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's Lord of your life. That's when real joy will flood your soul. The joy of the Lord. It's your strength. It's our true source. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, the Lord said, and he was talking about the parable of the talents. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. There will be nothing like that day for believers when the Lord says, enter into the joy of the Lord. You think you've experienced joy in this earth, you will be overwhelmed by the joy of the Lord at that very moment. But there will be nothing like hearing, depart from me, for I never knew you. There will be no depression, oppression, sadness that will be experienced in this earth like the sadness you would feel on that day. Oh, how I desire for all people to hear. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But only you, only each and every individual can make that decision for themselves. Without it, eternity is going to be a terrible place. With it, the joy of the Lord will flood your soul. We're going to remain in this world for a while. Each one of us has a day that we're going to depart. Possibly the Lord's going to appear in clouds and we're going to all be swept out of this place. Hallelujah. That would be awesome. But in the meantime, we have this place to live in. It's the earth. It's the place that we have been place that we've been given by Almighty God to further the kingdom of God, to be representatives, ambassadors of the joy of the Lord. So it's incumbent upon us, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, to spread that joy wherever we go, to be a beacon of light to a lost and dying world. To be a people that is not overcome by politics. That's not overcome by world turmoil. A people that's not overcome by conflict among their own. A people that that embrace love, compassion, forgiveness. A people that spread the true joy of the Lord. Because that joy is in us. If it's not, there's something wrong. We need to go back to the beginning and say, Lord, where's your joy? We're going to have that incredible, incredible joy in the presence of the Lord God. But right now, I'm going to give you the words of Nehemiah when the people were sent to go build the wall and rebuild Jerusalem. And they were encountering opposition, and it was difficult. Like our life can be difficult sometimes. Nehemiah said to the people, "Do not sorrow, for the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Do not sorrow, no matter what's coming. Praise God for this awesome time we get to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus. And look forward to that ultimate joy that we have in Him. Mother, now listen, this is what can happen to us with everything that's going on. We can forget about what's important in our life. We can forget about the joy of the Lord and what we should be basking in rather than being overcome and overwhelmed. But I heard this story about a mother who was shopping with her little 3-year-old. And she was hustling from store to store, trying to buy gifts at last minute. And suddenly she realized that her little 3-year-old, that chubby little hand, was no longer holding on to her hand. And in a panic, she retraced her steps, and she went back, and she found her little 3-year-old looking at a display, a nativity display. And she said, when she saw him, she was kind of panicked, but she saw him there, and she said, "What are you doing? You frightened me." And he said, "Mama, look, in the hay, baby Jesus." And the mother was so overwhelmed with the panic and shopping and everything, and she grabbed that little boy's hand, and she said, "Come on, we don't have time for that." Dude, what do we have time for now? We have a lot of things going on in our life. A lot of turmoil, a lot of family issues, a lot of ups and downs. But do we really have time right now, this season, to pause and recognize that we do have joy in the Lord? He is our strength. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.